would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the Warmaster Podcast, episode 83 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners. Today's episode is called Dwarf Army Review, Revolution Edition. Barry's pulled that out of the bag somewhere. We could have done an episode on the Warmaster Revolution changes, I think, personally.
They're still tiddling along.
Still tiddling along.
When they're done, and then we've got those two armies, Beastmen and Norse, and they're done.
Yeah.
And discuss what's happening with the Wood Elves. And then that's an episode, most of an episode. Mm-hmm. But we've got a lot of armies to get through.
All right, okay.
I mean, what's this? 1, 2, 3, 4. This is number 5. There's
23.
Or something. There's a lot. Right, so we're going to talk about dwarves.
Dwarves.
And as usual, Paul's got a suggestion of what would be a balanced D-list.
Everything. The point is that I bring a list that I would want to run, giving no restrictions. Bring a list that you would want to run, given no restrictions. Is that right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, not everything I try and do will work.
Yeah.
but in the same way that Janice tries to find a soft spot and exploit it, that's we work along similar lines.
Fair enough.
So this is if Janice was being filthy, this is what I'd expect him to run, something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we'll talk about a layer, because that's the main topic. But we've got to talk about what has happened in the wide, wide world of wargaming in the last...
Yep.
How long have we got? Oh, something 10 days. Oh, 7 days. Because we did it this time last Thursday, 9 o'clock, Thursday night. 1 week ago.
Oh, yeah.
So my world will be massive. Or epic.
What have I got? Yeah. I've got some... Yes, I have some interesting things to say. I have been up to. Yeah.
You've been up to? Good.
Just pulling up my calendar here. Yep.
You may have played Blood Bowl at the weekend.
Yes, I did. And I played Eric at War Machine. Yes. So that's what I'll be talking about.
Well, off you go then, sir. Why wait?
Okay, so I took part on Sunday. Today, what's the date?
Thursday
the 18th, isn't it? So I took part in a club Blood Bowl event, I haven't played physical Blood Bowl in a while. So
what do you mean by physical Blood Bowl?
Like not on the computer or like.
What do you play on the computer?
Well, you can play that 2D Java version, can't you?
Fumble.
Yeah, we did a lot of leagues throughout the time. But basically, Darren had advertised, fancy doing a one-day Blood Bowl event. Support a club. Yeah, it's fine with me. So it was very cheap at 40k in Colchester.
Good venue.
Yeah, exactly. I said, like, I'm...
Did I tell you I got? I went through some bus lanes accidentally over some railway lines? I got fined for that. That's just the sacrifices I make to run events, drive people around, buy lunches, pay fines.
Oh, what? You got fined? Hang on, who fined you?
The council, because on the way back from Tesco's, I got lost. I took the first left, and I went over this level crossing. And I didn't know I'd gone over this level crossing. I thought, Jesus Christ, what was... I just went over a train line. Have I gone over a train line?
What? How did you get lost from...
It's amazing, isn't it, when you think about it?
But, it's one road, Barry.
Yeah, but I turned left too quickly. And I went through a level crossing, and through bus lanes and all kinds of shit. And then I went, oh my God, where am I? So then I turned back and went through again.
So how did you get fined?
Oh, just through the post.
What? Oh, right, because on a camera?
On a camera, yeah. Hopefully it was just the one, and they haven't got me on the way back as well.
Right, but so what was the fine?
It could have been 90, but if you pay quickly, it was 30, so it's just...
Well, why did you... You idiot!
What do you want from me?
I don't get it. Like, how can you...
I don't know how I didn't
even
spot.
Get lost?
I don't know, because,
you can literally see the thing.
Yeah, how did I not spot I was driving over a train line? It's like, this train line doesn't look familiar.
But the fence... Surely the fences were down, or something?
No, the fences weren't down. That's why I drove through them.
You, like
a level crossing. When the gate's not down, you can go across.
Yeah. So what, were you going down the wrong way or something?
I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I went,
Well, this is worrying. Cause, like,
it wasn't on. I didn't use my sat nav. There was
you could see it from one to the other.
Well,
you'd
think so, wouldn't you? Yeah. I took the wrong turn. I don't know how.
But
dementia, sir. Dementia.
This is worrying. It's quite worrying.
Apparently. Yeah. I'm not drinking enough coffee.
Okay, to give some context, perspective, 40K is in an industrial estate.
It is.
It has one entrance. When you're at the entrance of that industrial estate, to if you were coming out of it, to your right, you can see Tesco's.
It's big.
It's not small.
No,
Tesco's is a big supermarket.
Big.
So Barry managed to get lost.
I did.
In sight of his objective.
But in my defence, when you're coming back from Tesco's, you can't see 40k.
Yeah.
I saw a road on the left. Oh, that's
so you can't retrace your steps.
Well, it wasn't. It's
when
like
a, when you've been down somewhere 10 minutes before.
There's no justification.
And you got lost.
I didn't get so lost, it was straight away. You turn left and straight away there's a level crossing. Like, bang. I'm like, oh my God, where's this level crossing come from? Bang, but I'd already gone through the bus lane and everything.
Right, so you managed to turn down a one-way road.
Yeah, basically.
Right, okay. You idiot.
So hopefully there's just the one fine, there's not another one due tomorrow. But hey, my wife doesn't know, she doesn't destroy it.
Unless she listens to this.
She don't listen to this anymore. She listened to the first few, maybe. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so you were in a tournament at this place. Not by the level crossing, you didn't...
Next time I'll have to hold your hand, won't I?
Well, you should have got the lunch, yeah.
Sorry, I better
And
stop.
Who was there? Who was there? Which hitters were there?
Okay, so...
Which of the big guns were there?
Darren was... I mean, Darren likes...
Darren's to, lovely.
Darren's lovely.
But he never wins anything.
But he
He's
also,
got no
but
killer.
But also,
got...
he does love to be falling his sword all the time, doesn't he?
So was he playing with half?
No, no, he was like... He organised it, but it was an odd number, so he stepped back and didn't play.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, I know it's what you're supposed to do, but, like, I mean, he's like...
Hopefully you do something to him.
Well, like, no, but, I mean, he... Oh, I don't know. Anyway, so I gave him some stuff to paint, basically. Like, here, paint this for me while, you know, like...
Not taking advantage of it.
Yeah, do something useful. So, Andrew, who was there, obviously, he showed me his new Kickstarter American football game. Who else? George was there. I played Phil. Like, it went travel down there with Phil.
Phil Yule.
Yeah.
OG Phil.
Yeah. And then a guy, Dan, who's quite new to the club. I don't think I knew, I recognised him. And who else? That would have been one other person on there. Oh, Darren Lysenko.
Playing Wood Elves?
No, he's playing Orcs.
Ah, oh, that's what you mean.
There were six of us playing. We just played three games. So what I'd done is I'd sold off my old Skaven team and painted them
and green.
So my first game was against this new guy Dan, who took a heart human team, had mostly played his Blood Bowl on a computer game.
Yeah.
You know, and I soon remembered how to play Blood Bowl and I won.
How many skills were you allowed?
So mine was the top tier team, like the three categories of teams.
Right.
Skaven are obviously good. And
very good, yeah.
And I was just allowed three skills. Yeah. So I just took three blocks. On
gutter runners.
Three gutter runners, you know, on a team.
And the poor fourth gutter runner, he
hides.
He's on defence.
Mm. And I won 3-0. Even out casualty them in that one, so that was
Well, you do have a Ryoga, I guess.
I do have a Ryoga, yeah. But
you
can
do work.
I've got too much armor, so I shouldn't out kill many people. Anyway, so rolled through, and then played Phil Eels with his Lisbon team. And
they're not a forgiving team for
very
good.
His build only had five skinks in it.
Skinks. Six Sauras, so.
And a Crocs, yeah. Okay. So, the kickoff went all kinds of weird. So, I ended up realising that the best way to beat this team would be just to go for all the skinks.
Well, that's always the way to kill them.
Well, no, but like, rather than just outscoring them, like, score and get one, then get again, score again, was just actually to smash the skinks.
Because the Lizardmen team can't afford... They'll probably be tier 2, I guess, in this.
But yes.
They can't afford to give the skinks block to go with their dodge, because the Saurus are fucking liabilities until you give them skill.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to put your skills on those.
And they're only agility 1. The skinks are agility 3. It's a weird team, Lizardmen. And the Saurus and the Crocs score agility 1. So we had this weird situation where the ball went loose and it ended in a Croc score, caught it with a natural 6. So it's like almost like a curse. He didn't want to catch it.
He could hand it off, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But I just nailed all the skinks. So, like, who's he going to hand it off to?
Hello?
Yeah, like...
I'll tell you, Rattogers love eating skinks. Three dice with Frenzy, that's not going to... That's going to stick.
As long as you get the POW, then the stunty is really, you know, painful.
Right.
And that was the tail of the game, basically. And I forced him to have to make real difficult moves because I was nailing him. And I won that 3-0 as well. You know, just because gutter runners can do that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was difficult. That was my hardest game of the 3 days was Phil's.
Cause this has been a rough.
Though I won, I scored and scored again. It was difficult. I didn't score until quite
late. Sourced, no joke.
No, exactly. It was like, yeah, I was pushed. I'd lost a lot of players too. And then the last game was against Andrew. He had a slam team. You know, the Frogs?
Yeah, can't be arsed with those. There's no point in them. They're Mickey Mouse
team. I mean, I don't know. He'd won his first two games, so fair play. But, you know, he was never... They're such an awful team, Slam. Because none of their positional players have any of the keys. They don't have block, they don't have dodge. So their blitzers don't have block. So basically...
They have long legs or something
stupid.
Yeah,
they all have leap. You know, like, so all you have to do, is essentially, because you assume that he will always get to blitz your ball carrier, so you just make it hard for him. So you man mark, and then you put your ball carrier in between two other players, and it's like, so he comes in, at, you know, probably a one dice, and it's like, you obviously make sure it's a blodger. He won't have tackle.
He's got to get blocked first.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's very hard for him then to remove the ball carrier.
And leaping's like overrated.
Yeah, it's a liability.
If you've got war dancers, you don't ever want to leap.
Yeah.
Unless you absolutely have to. You're going for the ball. And those war dancers are skilled up the wazoo in Ag 4.
Yeah,
you still don't want to do it.
So that, you know, and again, his low armour, I just started smashing him. And I took, you know, I did out casually hit, you know, I actually got, I think, one of the most casualties in the tournament.
Well, there you go.
So I won that 3-0 as well.
Bang!
And I was 3-0, 3-0, 3-0. Took the trophy. And as to reward myself, because they were discounting on top of their discounts already, Blood Bowl stuff, I got the Elven Union team for next time.
Oh, the Pro Elves?
The Pro Elf team.
I find them really hot.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But, like, I couldn't... Because I dominated with Skaven, it wouldn't be fun to just come back and do that again. So, like, I've got to change my team if this happens again. And they're so cheap. Literally, I picked up the team and a set of dice for, like, £20.
Crack, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like, well, that's... Yeah, and that's actually a good... That's the build of the Elven Union team you would have.
You got both blitzers.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, two blitzers, two throwers, two catchers, linemen. Makes 12 players, that's it. You know, I would come back... And they're lovely models. They're really 80s styles models.
Well, the old ones were like...
Yeah. So, if we return to do this again, I'll do the Elven Union team. Because I enjoy these new Skaven models, like, of these... They were lovely to paint because they're a bit bigger, than the GW style was to make stuff a bit bigger, and they're just.
I think they're 32 mm now, aren't they?
Yeah, beautiful to paint. So yeah, I'd happily do them again.
Oh, we've said in the past how it must be hard being an alternative manufacturer. For
when you're up against that, you know, I mean, you
it's
can
not
make,
just the quality.
You can make,
it's
you
the
can make
price.
A nice Kickstarter, but like, okay, so my Skaven team needed a few extra buys to pad out their roster, you know, but the Elven Union don't need that. They've got
a big guy.
Yeah, they've got the team in the box. Like, you know, and they look great. Yeah,
Can't they be the guys that can have four catches, though?
They can theoretically, but you wouldn't want to.
Yeah, but I don't think...
Because your team is agility four, and the catchers have catch and nerves of steel.
But the nerves of steel is fine.
But your whole team has agility four. So your whole team, if they're in the open, will catch on two.
And their strength three.
And you're going to have some rerolls. So it's like... You don't need four catchers. You don't need... Anybody can catch that ball and move with it.
Yeah, I played the living shit out of Blood Bowl. I must have played like 1,000 games online and in real life. Like, I kind of burned myself out with a game.
You're honest, Barry. Going into that, that's how I'd felt as well. Not as many. I don't know how many games I played, but I did feel a bit like I played this game to death. But playing it again, I was like, I enjoy this. Okay. You know, like, I don't think I'd want to go through a league again, but I'm happy on a day thing... And then chat, hanging out, chat. Like I got Andy to demo his American football game.
Did it go quickly? The games?
Mine did. But Darren and George's one was a bit of an epic. Obviously it went on way too long.
Yeah, you know I gave up when there was a more than 4-hour game.
Yeah, well, I mean that. Yeah.
More than 4 hours. Yeah. Like I think it may have actually gone to 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
6 hours per game.
No,
come on, man.
It's ridiculous.
Come on. What are you talking about, fella? Yeah. Right, anyway, so, well done to you, winning an award.
Yeah. Picked up the, came first, you know, it's all
cool.
And also, other thing I've done is I played Eric, a game of War Machine.
Eric, the granddad.
The granddad. You know, so this game of War Machine was interesting because I took the Kane 3 with the Gun Mage list, and because there's this upcoming club Journeyman League.
All right.
Yeah, that Rodders wants to run.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, I'll take Kane 3 because I haven't played him ever. And he got a nice tier that he fits into naturally, like nicely, the Gun Mage list. And I warned Eric, I said, this is what I'd like to bring. Like, it can be a bit, it can be annoying to play against this kind of list. Because I'm like, I don't take a heavy jack, it's just Gun Mages, light jacks, and, a few
just all shooting,
Just all shooting.
So, you can shut that down with something that doesn't let you shoot.
Of course you can. But it's like, the point of War Machine is you take two...
Haven't they lost True Sight now?
This is what I want to talk about.
They brought it back in, haven't they?
So, basically, Privacy Press was always played, like, you would get the cards, and that would be your stuff, and that would be your references. Now, they don't sell their models with cards. They have a free download your cards online.
Or a £60 app, which I have. I don't even play the fucking game.
And the thing is, like, so if I had an iPad, I might feel different about War Room, like their app, but I have a phone. I don't have an iPad.
It works on a phone.
Yeah, but, like, I don't want to be sitting there scrolling through. I want to interact, with my,
iPad.
Yeah, and if I just sit there, just on my phone, then I'm not interacting. I'm just checking on checking what the wife wants me for. That's the thing. It's like, so what? But they've made that choice, and I understand they can make their dynamic updates and stuff. Fair enough. So before this game, because I would class myself as a casual player of War Machine now, I went through my list with the cards I had, and I checked for like any changes, and I could only see minor ones. So I printed off the cards that were new, and I turned up to play Eric. We played said game. It was a bit of a mismatch. He took one of these circle underpowered cards, Tanith. I'd never heard of it.
Fucking heard of it.
Yeah,
the fuck is Tanith?
She was a spell slinger.
Oh, she from the box set or something.
But the thing is I just
shot everything to pieces.
I was over my three turns. I just. He didn't have any defences against what I had coming
which
in.
Which is shooting me.
But I could layer the shooting, because I have things at various different ranges, either 10 or 14.
Well, not only that, you can measure the ranges.
I have my gun mage unit with the UA.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, right, okay, so there's two zones to fight over. Opposite them is he's got a unit of black. The druids,
With the clouds.
So they're making their clouds to hide his army. And it's like, fair enough. So like my druids, like they've lost True Sight. That was their thing. Mark III change.
Well, that was the dude who brought the True Sight.
That was the dude. Yeah, but then that had changed. So Eric and I said, okay, so I'm just gonna have to suck it and
kill the druids.
The point of this unit was the UA gave them True Sight in Mark II.
Yeah, but don't the druids have to stand in the clouds?
Yeah.
So you just shoot the druids?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah.
So, but they gain stealth when they're in it.
We can't shoot the druids.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I think I'm looking across at this and I'm like, so what I'll have to do, he'll have to hit me first. That's all I can, I can position my guys behind scenery and stuff. He'll have to attack me first. And this is what I'm going to use to hold a zone while I dominate on the left. Eric pointed out, hang on, no, their dude gives them True Sight. And I was like, well, he used to, but that's what's changed. So he's like, check it, I'm sure. This is a weird, gentleman's game. It's like, you're trying to help me, with this,
Well, that's all he ever did.
But no, so I looked online, and it's changed again.
Well, now he does.
Now he does.
Well, there was no point in having him without it.
Well, exactly, but that's the thing. What I'm saying is, so this unit that did an ability... between editions, lost the key ability and got given something else, and now has been revised to have the ability again. Okay, on a once per game, but all you need is once per game. So
once per game.
Once per game. It's changed.
Okay, well that's not as auto on as it was, but it's probably the turn you need.
It's all you really need.
Well, I'd like every turn, but you can't have everything.
Yeah. So, but the game doesn't last. It's fixed to last only seven turns anyway. So, I was like, well, this is a nonsense. I went out of my way to check my cards down.
Well, you obviously didn't, did you?
But I looked on War Room, right? So, and the reason I hadn't found this one is the cards are all listed as a version, a year and a version, as in...
No, for fuck's sake.
And it was the same. So they'd made a mistake on the card online. They hadn't changed the version. So my physical card, which I have, is the same version as is online, but the text is wrong. The text is different. So I was like, hang on a sec. So either I've spotted the one, I found the one mistake this app has, or there's actually loads of mistakes on it.
It just crashed when I tried to load it now. That's how long it's been since I've even tried to open it. For my 60 quid.
So, I was really, really annoyed me, because I was like, they are making this game so hard to play. Because I now, if I'm the casual player,
I'm gonna have to check
my cards every damn time if I want to use physical cards, which I think is the better way to play. Personally,
you can't play with physical cards anymore. Just let it go.
But like, what am I supposed to do? Buy an iPad to play this game?
Yeah, or a phone or something.
But look how old shit your phone is.
Well, it's getting there now.
That's what I was.
I tried to boot. It crashed. Yeah. Now it's,
so what if it crashed during a game? What would you do?
Well, you can't use it to track anything.
So what's the point in it then?
Officially, you're supposed to be able to play games over like a network. So I track my damage, it comes on yours. You track your damage, it comes on mine. That's what's supposed to happen.
Have you ever seen anyone do that?
The greatest, the funniest thing is, you're kind of encouraged to use this, right? But if it fails, you forfeit your game.
Yeah.
If you're using this and your phone fails...
Yeah. And plus it'll kill the battery off.
You forfeit the game. Because you can't prove what the game state was. Hmm. So your game goes and the opponent wins. But I looked at it today.
Yeah. There's like, this SID's finished, this SID's starting, Black Ogrons are now in SID. Community development bullshit. It's like, Jesus, man, it's just not possible. It's like, if it was the only game I played, like, and it was, I lived and breathed it, I could keep up. Yeah. But I don't. It's nowhere near the only game I play. And I just can't be shagged with it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I still think War Machine is good, but, you know, my God, they've gone nuts. They make it hard to play.
Well, we'll see in about a month's time when I go to BonesCon and talk to people and see them play.
I've pulled up the Gun Mage's, you know, like, card.
Which you can pull up online. Yeah. You can print.
Yours is still...
it'd take forever, man.
If you scroll across it, you see it's... But point is...
What's this Sons of Tempest thing?
It's a theme. But, like, here it is, Moment of Clarity, written in. But this... the version here, 2006 version 1, they haven't changed. So they've changed the rules and not the version. And that's why it annoyed me so much. Because I was like, well, I spent time trying to prep this to play clean, and I've still come across wrong. Yeah.
Better get Swift Hunter, whatever.
Yeah, but...
What's the point in having Swift Hunter if they only got one attack?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do? Just move back.
Still loading. Anyway, I can feel your pain, so. It's a pain I've talked of in...
But, I mean, this is an example of a company failing. Like, had a player base, had a good game, and they've messed it up.
Well, not only that, they're compounding their failures.
Yeah.
Because they're so... What's the word now? They're so scared of being able to write a game for themselves, stand on the rules they've written, that they have to play test it and like get feedback and like the things, it's on quicksand.
Yeah.
If you know that if anything is good, people are just going to moan until they get to
that. I mean, that's what Eric would turn around and say, was that all you have to do is complain enough and you'll get things changed.
Of course you will. And you'll always end up with stuff like Moloch Khan, who never got changed because nobody plays Scorn, so nobody even noticed.
And then
suddenly when you started playing against it, like, who the fuck tested this? In Mark 2, Moloch Khan was just absolutely ridiculous.
The Moloch Khan missile was ridiculous.
He was just totally ridiculous.
He threatened you for so far away.
Like 20 odd inches. Yeah,
came in and...
And
if you gave him a simple line of attack...
You didn't need a simple line. You could come in like all over the place.
Yeah.
Just totally ridiculous. Anyway, what a War Machine plan.
You asked what I've been up to.
That's true,
that's
I
what
did.
So...
What is it? Oh, that's a quick one. So mine's quick as normal.
Yeah.
Played Magic, played Modern, didn't do particularly well. That can happen in Modern. It's like rock, paper, scissors. So I managed to win the first game, luckily, and then lost the next two. So. Mm-hmm. And then NFL was very disappointing.
All right.
Very disappointing.
You'll quite enjoy Andy's American football game, I think.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
It's quite complicated, American football. It's not a simple game. It's like war games. Maybe I like it. It'll have to be complicated, though. I'm not interested in some dumbed down...
It looks certainly complex enough.
Complex.
But I'll get... when I kickstart it and it turns up, I'll paint a team in your colours.
black and gold,
yep,
or black and yellow.
Yep.
So yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers got absolutely fucking drubbed at home after being like, we were on for the number one seed, like the best team in football.
Yeah.
And then we had a bad result a few weeks ago, and then we had a couple of weeks off to rest before this big matchup and got absolutely fucking annihilated. It was ridiculous. It was like the worst game I've seen in a long time. We scored 42 points at home and lost.
What was this video that you shared us? This
well, the greatest ever, the greatest win that never was.
The win that never was.
Yeah, yeah. So if you get the chance, I think it's about 92, Plano East, some Texas high school team.
Yeah.
And they were, maybe as much as 42-21 down, or something ridiculous, with 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
And they came back and took the lead with 30 seconds left. So they scored like five. They scored four touchdowns on the bounce. They scored a touchdown onside kick, which has no chance of recovery.
Yeah.
And they did that four times. And then got the lead and then conceded from the kickoff and lost.
Yeah.
It's just Plano East. Look on YouTube. It's an amazing thing.
Well, it's, what's
the
funny,
commentators, the hillbilly commentators.
Yeah, is that what? Because I found funny was the commentary.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Bingo, bango, bongo. And I'm done peeing myself.
Yeah, my God, somebody give me something.
It's like bring out the Orioles, boy. So, Plano East, go watch it. Mm-hmm. Don't watch the Steelers. Go watch the Plano East.
Attention. If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Right, so welcome back. Now we're going to deal with our main topic for the evening. The Dwarf Army Review.
Dwarfs.
I've always imagined them being Scottish.
Yeah, Billy Connolly.
Yeah, that's probably from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Let's get my good hammering, boys.
Yeah.
Get on the twirly whirlies.
Ah, you bastards.
Anyway, so there we go. So Paul now, he's going to give you his fluff bomb, which, I mean, back in the olden days. Well, you can't have another one. You've got to drive.
No, okay, yeah.
He's talking about his drinks gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you pronounce that? Recorder.
That's not dwarf. Just get on with it.
That looks dwarven to me. R-E-K or O-R-D-E-R-L-I-G.
Yeah.
Something like that. Right, so come on then, fella. Let's hear it.
So the dwarf fluff is a sus. Dwarves. The dwarves live in fortified subterranean strongholds in the mountainous regions of the Old World. Beneath these near impenetrable fortresses, they have dug thousands of miles of tunnels, shafts, mines, and galleries. The World's Edge mountains are riddled with dwarf delvings that constitute a hidden kingdom, an underground realm as large as any extent to any human kingdom. This adjoining Grey Mountains and Dragback ranges are also home to dwarves, and there are scattered settlements in most of the mountainous regions of the Old World. Dwarves are attached to these bleak places by the hidden mineral wealth and especially gold. Dwarves are utterly besotted with gold. They're quite enthusiastic about gemstones and other rare and precious metals, but most of all, they love gold. Dwarves sing songs about gold, dig through solid rock to find gold, and spend endless happy hours counting the gold when they possess. There are hundreds of different dwarfish words for gold, and new ones are being coined all the time. A dwarf who finds himself in the presence of a large amount of the yellow, shiny stuff can easily go gold crazy. Such an individual may become insanely violent, going so far as to attack his friends and family, who he believed to be after me gold. Given this strong materialistic streak, it is not surprising that dwarves are such keen traders and merchants. They are always willing to go to business with other races, though only on cash terms, gold is always acceptable.
Yeah.
Dwarves are far shorter and far stouter than men or elves. They're also much stronger and more resilient. They consider human elves to be gangling weaklings liable to be blown over in a decent breeze. Dwarves are expert craftsmen, especially when it comes to metalwork, smithying, gem cutting and jewellery making. Despite their cumbersome appearance, they are astonishingly skillful at making fine, intricate mechanisms such as locks, concealed drawers and hidden doorways. They are adept stonemasons and make great pride in their ability to build to last. Indeed, the phrase dwarf built is a byword for indestructible, whilst the dwarvish word for shoddy translates quite literally as man-made. Even the elves consider dwarf metalcraft the finest in the world. Elves are less appreciative of dwarf twaste, which they consider to be extraordinary, gaudy and vulgar. Because of the coming of men, the elves established colonies in the Old World, so we traded with the dwarves. For many years, the two races benefited from this arrangement, as both peoples flourished. However, differences in temperament doomed their relationship to inevitable failure. Clash of cultures, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
The dwarves saw the elves as arrogant and effeminate, and the elves thought the dwarves as brutish and vulgar. If elves had been more tactful and dwarves left prickly, things might have turned out differently, but it was not to be.
It's very Lord of the Rings, this.
Once war began, both sides were too proud to concede defeat. After hundreds of years of continuous warfare, both races were exhausted, leaving the elves to retreat back to their homeland of Uthwan and abandon the Old World, and the dwarves really had lost their numbers to hold their empire as it once, you know, had, mm-hmm. basically. It was at the point that hordes of greenskin and rantsmen attacked the dwarf realms from above and below, and many strongholds were destroyed and others were rampant damaged. The once sprawling underground empire was reduced to just basically besieged, you know, like fortresses underground. Today the dwarf realm is much reduced in size and population. Men have established themselves in the lands they once fought over by dwarves and elves, and the dwarves have learned to trade with elves, and the two races have forged a mostly peaceful relationship. Because they're in more relative to dwarves, obviously thousands of years of history, more recent history, you know, coming of Sigmar, dwarves helped with that, etc. And, you know, like more, you know, in the more recent Warhammer history, which the empire was then founded. Dwarf craftsmanship that raised the first human cities, relations with the elves remained embittered. Dwarves never forget injustices of their own kind and can bear a grudge practically forever. They reserve their own heartright hatred for the green and ratmen who have taken their ruins of many strongholds and rightful property of the dwarves.
Mm.
In end times, or end times fluff.
So, yep. Cheese cannon blows up the moon.
Yeah.
Gates so collapsing. So the slan hold the gate open.
There
is. I'm making this up now.
Sort of. Yeah.
Slan, like, and then everybody jumps through.
Yeah.
2x2.
Yeah. 2x2.
Animals.
Yeah. But, so what happened with the dwarves? Basically, the last dwarf Warhammer armies book had a cool slant on the dwarves, like modern story, in that their high king Thorgrim Grudgebearer decided, like, rather than to go out meekly, they were going out with a bang. And he wanted to reclaim a lot of the lost, you know, dwarf holds and re-establish contact. I don't know where basically he found the troops to do this, but they went on the offensive.
Of course, yeah, like, get them all together, get the boys together.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and there's been some great Warhammer history of more recent dwarf, you know, like Warhammer history of dwarves, like the lost Carrick eight piece in King, who was the dwarf that did that? Belagar, like, you know, like his campaigns to take back his right homelands, and partially success, but again, incredible copy of Lord of the Rings and Moria, you know, like, you know, almost exactly the same, essentially, story. And then sadly, though, Thorgrim's assassinated by a Skaven, you know, like assassin,
of course, he is,
you know, like, and leaving the only real dwarf leader left is Ungrim Ironfist, who becomes the embodiment of the law of fire in end times. Yeah, and yeah, so
he becomes a god,
you say? Not a god, but
well, how does he get off? How does he get,
I don't know,
off?
But ultimately, what we skip forward to Age of Sigmar dwarves, or they've changed their name to Duna
No, it's F something, fire.
Yeah, yeah,
fire
basically, you have three dwarf races, or like types, in Age of Sigmar.
Right.
Two are released since Age of Sigmar has come out, so then proper Age of Sigmar, which is basically your you know, like, to me, my Hawkman style dwarves,
right? Okay,
looking like like Flash Gordon and Brian Blessed,
right.
Except
right.
They ain't got the wings.
These, you know, guys, like, with the floating ships.
No, this is like the dwarf troll slayers.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah, like, and then you have the dwarves who float around in the ships with all their assault cannons and their complete
rail
nonsense. Yeah, like, which is like, well, they, instead of being in mountains, they're in airships in the sky all the time, you know, and in the clouds, and it's like, okay, you know, and then...
Which planet? Any planet?
Just
random planets, yeah?
Just drift whatever, around. Whichever. You know, like,
I never really understood, there's like these different, like, my kids play this game called Skylanders.
Yeah.
And it's like floating lands in space.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And they, so basically, Skylanders. Skylanders.
Yeah.
And they float around one of these Skylands.
Yeah. Well, maybe more than one. I don't know. I don't care. And also, they have not just dropped the classic Warhammer dwarf models.
Oh, no. They go
off, they're still a separate faction as
they
well.
They go off on the little square bases.
Oh, yeah. Like, right, why did you do that? So they had a good fluff, and they had classic, very...
Well, they had some very, very,
they had
very
them
generic
very generic in Lord of the Rings inspired.
Well, you knew what you were getting.
Yeah.
You knew what you were getting with dwarves. Robust, slow.
And then they drop-kicked that into touch and just made it the nonsense of Age of Sigmar.
Age of Shitmar. That's what I hate to call it. Right, so we're back in the old world, where we should be.
Yep.
We're greenskins are greenskins, dwarves are dwarves.
Skaven is called Skaven.
Elves are still annoying.
Yeah.
And Skaven are Skaven.
Yep.
So what are they going to be like in space?
Oh, they're exactly the same.
Are they?
Yeah, they haven't been Age of Sigmar at all. They even kept their name, because I guess no one...
They're not going to bother, are they?
Yeah, well, they didn't even... I guess they didn't need to change it, because no one else has Skaven in a game system.
Ratman.
Yeah.
Ratman. Rat fans. Right, so what have we got to talk about next? So we talked about the fluff.
Yep.
Says here, no making it up.
Well, that was, you know, pretty
sounds
much.
Legit. Sounds legit. Because when he makes it up, Sherman always pulls it back. He made it up again. It's like, I don't know. He can say whatever he likes. So, army list.
Right.
Now, it says here, we need to highlight revolution's changes, but I'll tell you now, there are none.
Yeah, I mean, just the core stuff that may, you know, that is infantry, isn't it?
I mean, the way the game's changed.
Yeah, yeah. The game's changed, but...
The list army, didn't change
this,
at all.
This list had no changes.
No changes. And we'll talk a little bit about how the game has changed and helps it.
I don't think we need to rattle through what the dwarf... Because it had no changes.
Like, but some people...
Yeah.
I mean, this is hard to believe.
Yeah.
But some people might not go back to episode one and listen to all 83 episodes.
All right.
This may be one of the first episodes they've listened to. So they might want to hear the Dwarf Army review.
Oh, right, okay. Right.
So we have to talk about what's in the list.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's first on the list?
Warriors, infantry. 3 attacks, 4 hits, 4 armour, boom. 110 points. You might have got to have 2 in an army. It means you'll have 4 at least. No maximum. No special rules.
There are no
army special rules either for dwarves.
The only special rule is they are the only unit with 4 hits and 4 armour that aren't 140 points, as far as I know.
Because
I think the only things that come in like this are got 4 attacks and they're Chaos Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Iron Guts or something.
Yeah.
So the first entry on here is, I believe, the key entry on the list. I mean, I think Chaos Dwarves have the same list.
Yes,
entry.
Exactly the same. Yeah.
Same entry. So you
but they'll have a maximum.
Yeah, you are getting, for a 30-point discount, a Chaos Warrior with one less attack.
Basically, yeah. Yeah.
That's how I would like to look at it. When I talk about my list, you'll see why. So, but that missing one attack is a big thing. I'm not going to say it's nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have 2 minimum, and that's the only one in the whole list that's got a minimum on it. Apart from a general.
Yeah.
Everything else is optional.
Yeah.
So you've got to have 4 of these, you've got to have a general, and that's it.
That's it, yep.
Okay.
So you handgunners are next, they're infantry. 3 attacks and 1 shooting attack, 4 hits, 6 up armour, and 90 points, no min-max. And 1 means they are armour piercing, so they count 1 less armour save.
It's nice.
Yes, that 6 up armour really tells though, doesn't it, in a dwarf army. I don't think you'd want to ever run a lot of handgunners. Like dwarves, a dwarf unit of handgunners to the front and warriors behind is a lot of points for what it is.
I think the only place I could run them is either trying to get into a wood and just do a little pingy damage.
Yeah.
Or you could try and put them on the front of a brigade with warriors behind in column.
And just
them on front and 3 in
just,
column. Well, they are going to go down so quick, it's not true.
The thing is for that -1 armor save, you know, So your 200-point unit of 2 ranks is doing the same as the 90 points. Or no, the 100 points of Empire.
Well, what you got to look at is they are handgunners in Empire.
Well, no, because they say... Cause you can
how much are handgunners in Empire? Are they 55?
No, they're 65, because they're 10 points more.
55 for regular.
So 110, it would be 110 points for handgunners at the front and halberdiers behind. Because they're 45.
Okay, so we are paying 65 for handgunners.
Yeah.
Now, for our extra 25
points, yeah.
We get 1 armour.
And 4 hits.
And 4 hits.
It's probably right.
It's definitely right. The problem is, that 6 up armour...
Ain't going to save you.
It ain't going to save you. No matter what hits you, you're just farming more hits. It doesn't matter if it takes them 12 hits instead of 9. They're still going to give them up.
Still going to lose, yeah. Exactly. So that is not the way to... It's too expensive... to have 200 points of dwarves putting out three ranged attacks.
And it's one of the very interesting things in Warmaster is how poorly armoured missile troops are in general, like throughout all lists.
Yeah.
I can't even think of one with 5 of armour. A missile troop.
Kislev Redguard.
On foot.
Yeah.
Okay, but there's the one, there's the exception.
Mm-hmm. And so, then you have ranges for infantry. Three attacks and one shooting attack. 4 hits and a 5-up armour. And they have, for 110 points, they have min nothing, maximum 2. So you can have 4. And they have a special rule 2, which means that ranges can chase any type of enemy. Which is really, not obviously... because they can hunt down flyers and stuff. It's to make the army work, you know, like in a sense.
It certainly needed that before Revolution.
Before Revolution,
for sure.
Yes.
Because without that, I mean, it was really irritating to play against anything with any mounted or...
Yeah, exactly. Because cavalry was king, dwarves don't have cavalry. If none of them could chase any cavalry, how would they ever win?
Yeah, or chase flyers or anything. Now, one negative that has happened is that we used to, I think it was a special rule we used, like an optional house rule, is you had to fight majority front.
Yeah.
So if like 3/4 of your base was fighting, was facing off against, say, unit warriors, and 1/4 of your base in the middle was touching rangers, you couldn't fight the rangers.
Yeah, that's right.
You had to fight. But in Revolution, you can now fight
the
rangers.
The question is can you go, if you are fully engaged to the front, can you attack corner to corner?
No, you can't attack corner to corner.
So that does protect them a bit against direct infantry attack.
But
not against cavalry.
Cavalry is a big problem.
Cavalry's the problem.
Because you can fit a shit ton in.
Yeah, exactly.
And they all go against the rangers, which is what we used to do. We used to, before we put that house rule in,
you smash the rangers.
And there's no point putting all your attacks against the warriors. Nah. Just pile them all into the rangers. Farm those wounds.
Farm those wounds.
Because it's easy to kill.
Yeah.
They're exactly the same. They're 3 attacks, 4 hits, but they got 5 of armor.
Yep.
So. They're all slightly diminished in that if you can flank charge stuff, you can get a second round of combat anyway now.
Yeah, exactly. Which comes into the army that Barry's built and the difference between the army that Barry's built and the army that I've built.
Prior to Revolution, they were absolutely, you had to take
them. Had some, yeah. Mm-hmm. You might not have 4 units, but you had to have some.
I think most people took 1 per brigade. I think that's how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll see. My build is more the classic version.
The classic.
Yeah, so Troll Slayers. Infantry with 5 attacks, 4 hits, no armour, naturally. For 80 points, and they have a couple of special rules. They've always got a charge. They've got the frenzy rule, essentially. They can't be driven back. They don't suffer from terror. And in fact, they get an extra attack when fighting against monster stands, because that's what they're all about.
Because they love it.
But also, they do not give... they give reverse victory points, weirdly. So if they survive the game with intact, they give opponents, they're giving opponent points away.
Okay.
It's a bit weird.
It's a bit weird.
In tournament play, you're not worried. In sense, victory points would only be a second or a third tiebreaker.
Third tiebreaker.
So this rule is a kind of a bit of a strange one, to be honest. I like it. It's fluffy. I mean,
it's definitely fluffy, but you've got to worry about your break before you worry about victory points.
Exactly. In terms of if we were to go come back round again when we've polished off Wood Elves, Beastmen, and Norse, and we look back at the existing armies, this might be one to address.
Because if you're not playing in tournament play, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're playing for victory points, and you know, like, maybe you only need a 10% difference to win, so you only need 200 points different. Yeah. Whether or not these 4 live or die, or 3 live or die, Troll Slayers, won't make the difference between winning and losing.
Exactly, it's a strange one, because if the army, or Dwarf Army, has some Troll Slayer units, they start losing. Like, and they
240 points back.
Yeah, exactly.
And in order to get those 240 points back,
they've got to kill them. Yeah.
But that's how the game was.
Mm-hmm.
But they still can't, right? We've discussed that. Now, apart from warriors being unlimited, handgunners are unlimited, rangers are 2, so you can only have 4 in the army,
Troll Slayers
are 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One thing I don't like about Troll Slayers, and I think this is a hang up again from that.
They also can't be brigaded.
Each
other. Yeah. Other units of Troll Slayers.
So you can only have 1 Troll Slayer unit per brigade.
Yeah. And now I hear that's because somebody who had the ear of people moaned enough that they.
Really?
Yeah, I hear that.
Even back then it happened.
Yeah.
If people complained loudly enough.
Yeah, apparently.
Because I played against Jim's Witch Hunters list, and he had brigades of fanatics, brigade of zealots, another brigade of zealots. They're exactly the same as these fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Well, you can brigade all those bad boys up, but you just can't brigade troll slayers.
Yep.
I think they'd be much more useful if you could brigade them up.
Yeah.
Because the usefulness is not as great as it ever was if you're playing in tournaments.
Yeah, exactly.
Having to give away break. Well, you don't have to give it away, do you? You just don't worry about the victory points.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess. Right, so what's our next level?
Cannons.
Ooh.
So this is
the Lords of War.
The standard cannon, except the same as the Empire one, except they've got a 6-up armour, and you'd be surprised how sometimes that does help you. And you for 90 points, you've 90 got points. Your unit of cannons. You can have two in an army, and you probably will.
You will. Yeah. So they have one attack in combat.
Yep.
But you're worried about that.
Yeah.
Why are they here?
Mm-hmm.
They're not here for that one attack. They have two attacks in shooting.
With the bounce
of 5 centimetres.
Yep.
So if they're in column, God help them. That means you hit them with
eight dice
per unit. So that's 16 dice for two units.
In total.
And if they're in line, you hit the first one for...
Four,
and then two, and then two.
Yeah.
So if you double that, if there's two units together, it's eight, four. That makes a mess of most things.
Does.
Whichever way.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway you cut it, it's going to be difficult.
Hmm? I mean, you'll delete ogres, you'll delete chaos warriors, you'll delete chaos knights, you'll delete anything. If they're in column and you get them in with a bead of the cannons, it's over.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom.
And, yeah, on the return, when they are attacked by something, I say... Like, that 6-up armour can be, like, useful against spells, that kind of thing. You never know when you suddenly get 6 when you need it.
I think you're only paying 5 points for it, so it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah,
these are absolutely the best piece of artillery. If anything, the people try and compare other artillery to this, and this is just, like, an exception.
Yeah.
Because dwarves have got a pretty shit list, to be honest.
Yeah.
If they didn't have this, there would be no reason to play them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Then their second piece of artillery is called a flame cannon. It has the most attack dice modifier in the game in terms of one attack and 2d6 arranged attacks.
2d6?
Two hits, like the same as the cannons, with a 6-up armour as well. For 50 points, you get one gun. Now, the flame cannon, basically, when it shoots, it rolls... It's got a range of 30. When it shoots, you roll two dice.
So not like the Hellblaster?
No.
It's not like range 10, 20, 30?
Yeah, no, this is a range of 30.
That is a long way, man.
Yeah, yeah, and it can shoot a charging enemy for full effect.
So that's the equivalent shooting of two units of crossbowmen.
More than two, averagely gets seven.
More than two units of crossbowmen.
It doesn't affect armor saves, so they're the same. But basically, say your average roll is 7, it does 7 shots, which means 3.5 on average.
3.5 hits.
Now, the difference is if you roll a double on those results, depending on what the double you've rolled is what the flame cannon does instead. Like a double one explodes itself.
Ooh, that's bad.
Right up to a double 6, which is mental in the terms that it does it does 12 shots and another d6 as well.
Ooh.
So potentially you roll another 6, you've done 18 shots, which is 9 hits.
9 hits, and if you imagine something light, that's the whole unit gone.
Well, it
it's
could
got
be
no armor.
Yeah, it is gone.
Bang.
Yeah, in one go.
Wow.
Yeah. It's as a point defense where basically the best armies that have the best artillery brigades, this is the standard that you compare it against, because they've got dwarves have the best long range artillery in terms of the cannons. They're dwarf cannons, because they've just got basically the Empire cannons, but with an armor save.
Yeah,
and then they have the best point defense gun going, which is the flame cannon.
For the same points as
because
the Hellblaster.
It's you could risk it and hope he rolls like a 3 or a 2. But he could equally roll... Even an average roll of a 7 will make a mess of charges. You know, it'll make a mess of charges to the point where one unit might not do enough. Like, they'll be wiped out on the standard shoot.
So what I tend to do is I set up with 2 cannons and 2 flame cannons in a brigade. I know that's not what everybody does, but that's what I do.
Uh-huh.
And so if you come in, I've got flame cannons in the middle.
Yeah.
So you're engaging one cannon and both flame cannons as a minimum.
Bang!
So it's a minimum of 4 dice plus 2, 4d6.
So 7, 14 plus 4,
that's 18 dice.
You're looking 18 hits.
9 hits.
Yeah, 9 hits, yeah.
On average.
Yeah.
But where it goes wrong is if you come in with cavalry, you're saving half of them.
Yeah.
So that's going to stink.
Yeah.
But if these are in defended, then you're getting no charge bonus and only hitting on 5s.
Yeah.
I can still win. they're no joke. And it makes me absolutely sad to my core that Hellblasters are so poor in comparison.
But they should
be,
because dwarves make things better.
They do.
Yeah.
And again, they need all the help because they don't have knights.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Empire is knights.
They have knights.
Yeah. So Then the obscure thing in the list is a gyrocopter, which is a machine.
This is weird. This is
one attack, three ranged attacks, three hits and a 5-up armor. For 75 points, you get a single stand of it. It can have... The last ones have all been min-max one, and this is min-max one. It can fly, and it also has an armor save modifier on its shooting. Like basically, it fires like a unit of handgunners, like a unit of...
But it's much more fragile.
Oh, yeah, totally. And but it can fly... it's a flyer. So what a place to use these things is a reserve to go where you need a bit of extra firepower. And also, it can also do the nasty thing of dropping behind a unit that the dwarves can push onto.
Can do that.
Yeah.
And it can also go and ping off an artillery piece.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't use it to charge things. It's not that kind of model.
It has two attacks on the charge.
On the charge, yeah. It's not that kind of model. But it... So the fact that it can fly is in terms of chasing stuff down isn't really what it's for. But it is for those two tactics. Like... putting extra shots into something from a short angle, somewhere of relative safety, and also to get behind a hard unit that you're going to push onto it, which is nasty, but that's what flyers do.
That
should be the subject of a video short.
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll show you how to do that. And there is a third option. And that is the one that all flyers can do, even birdmen.
Oh, it's what? Got Hoover characters.
Yeah, yeah. Go.
Choo, 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 choo.
You set all your characters on 20 centimetres in front to give nice order. Now they're all back.
Get back.
Because we've just run over all of them.
Yeah, yeah. If there are a lot of wizards in there, that could really limit your turn. And then you have a collection of heroes. You've got a general for two extra attacks for Command 10 general at 155. Command 10.
But he's got no cavalry, that's why he's 155.
Yeah. But he's also not an elf.
That's good.
Yeah.
I don't ever underestimate a Command 10 general.
Yeah, because this is the thing, is even though the dwarf army is all infantry, so it moves 20, having a Command 10 general means you can probably get another order on, can't you? Like, first order 10, second order
8.
10-8 to go in.
Which is a lot, I'll tell you now, the mass of 10-8 is a lot better than 9-7.
Nine,
which is a normal general, yeah, or 8-6 if you use a hero with infantry.
Or an orc hero, orc general?
It's 8-6.
8-6, yeah.
8-6. So, yeah. Normal
general. How about a goblin hero?
Don't forget about it, man. You've got like 7-5. You know, it's not happening.
Yeah, yeah.
But 10-8. 10-8 is pretty good.
10-8 is good.
I mean, 8 is the orc general's first order.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's your second order.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck that. Right, and then you have a hero, a standard hero, 80, command 8 for 80 points. Then they're runesmith. So instead of a wizard, they have a runesmith, who's also another hero. For 90 points, he's basically adds a chance to dispel... he doesn't cast magic, he's a chance to dispel magic.
On a 4-up?
On a 4+.
Every...
But if it's within... It's clear, if the runesmith is within 50 centimetres of the enemy wizard. So they can be out... So that range 30 spell, they can stop. But that range 60 spell, if well placed, they can't stop.
So you get him in front of your line.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little... obscure, but it's well chosen distance. Then the upgrade they can have, because they can't have any like character mounts.
One interesting thing to say here, just when we're talking about runesmiths, is you can still use the dispel scroll after failing that 4-up.
Apparently so, yeah.
You can. Yeah. So I try and dispel it on a 4-up, or I fail, I use my dispel scroll.
And the anvil has a 50-point upgrade, and for a one-off ability, it adds one to that dice roll for dispel magic attempts, which you have to clear, obviously, before using it. And also on a 4, 5, or 6 during the shooting phase of the turn, it will give dwarf units within 20 centimeters unaffected by terror for that turn. So that's an interesting rule, because dwarves don't have a lot of attacks.
They don't.
You know, like around their army, and anything that modifies their attacks is dangerous to them.
Yeah, well, I always like to stick knights in the flank with the terror of causing dragons.
I'm just saying, like, anything getting flanked in the with terror is obviously bad.
It is.
But like to dwarves, it's it's really bad.
Well, it's bad to everybody. Yeah, it's bad to chaos warriors. Yeah, bad to anything.
Yeah,
because
chaos
warriors down to 2 attacks.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose.
Dwarves down to 1.
Yeah, yeah. Minimum 1.
Minimum 1.
So that's the dwarf list. So with regards to that, we have written up a Paul and Barry's list.
So yeah, so I would say the dwarf list is obviously very, very infantry heavy.
Yes.
Because that's all it is.
Yep.
Apart from the two general cops and a bit of artillery.
Yep.
So you want to play this game very defensively.
You almost, it's hard not to.
Get your artillery brigade on a hill.
So, but dwarves are a perfect example of why you need to play scenarios. Because, like, the once you've played several games of dwarves or against dwarves, like, if you're not playing a scenario, they will castle up. It's inevitable.
They've got no choice.
Yeah.
What do you want them to do? Come into the open ground and have the horses just mowing down?
Well, exactly. But, like, I mean, so dwarves excel on the defence, but they're hard to attack with.
So, yeah, so get your artillery on a hill. So they get defended against everything but
see
fires.
See all the ranks in front of them.
See all the ranks in front of them. Get a full brigade in front of them.
Yep.
Protect them. And then get a couple of brigades on hills or in woods or something so they're defended.
Yep.
And just try and grind them out.
Yeah. And long will you resist.
And every turn that those cannons fire makes your route to winning easier.
Yes, exactly.
And their route to winning harder.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it's all about. Keep those cannons alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so Paul did a little list. You do your list, because your list is very very general, so I like it. Very, very textbook.
A Paul list.
Paul list.
Okay, so this is an army list that, I mean, I'll admit, was...
This predated revolution.
Predated revolution.
But not a lot's changed.
Not a lot changed. But I would still, this is the list I would still take to it if I was playing dwarves. And that is your 6 warrior units with 1 handgunner unit, 3 ranger units, 3 troll slayer units, 2 cannons, a flame cannon and a gyrocopter, 1 general, 1 hero and 1 runesmith with the anvil. You could replace the anvil with another flame cannon if you really wanted to, or you could place the anvil with a magic item. There might be a place to have a standard of shielding in to make a unit of iron breakers, like if you've got them, you know, like as a dwarf warrior. It's just to give a 3-up armor save, dwarf unit. Hard. Though I have lost a fight against orcs rear charging me before with them, so... It doesn't always work.
Yeah, like, that's 50 points.
Yeah, I recharged the orcs and I lost.
You did.
Yeah, like, so anyway, the way the army is built is you have 3 attacking brigades, which are built with troll slayers in the front, warriors either side, and rangers in the middle.
The ranger sandwich.
That's repeated 3 times. Then your artillery brigade is 2 cannons, and with a flame cannon to the right of them or the left of them, and the rangers the opposite. Your gyrocopter is there just for like situations, like when it needs to jump in the way behind something or add some extra shooting. With Command 10 General, you only have essentially 4 brigades to order. You know, there's plenty of a command ability. You could risk it by dropping one of the hero or the you could drop the hero away.
You can't drop the runesmith.
And possible. Having another gyrocopter, so you could run this list with 2 gyrocopters, a general, and just 3 characters, 2 characters. But then you're asking more of the general, but he has the ability to do it.
I like to ask.
So, yeah, so I there's the 2 things to play around with.
How do you stop your troll slayers to get pulled off the front?
So that's where you have to look at the army. You have to look at the game situation. So the because you have to look like, are you at risk of the troll slayers being a liability? And if you are at risk of that, you might want to break them away to act individually. Yeah, or to like, or not to be on the front of the brigade. You might want them behind the brigade as a counter. So you might want the warriors to lead, like, you know, your 3 columns with a line behind them.
Yeah.
That when, okay, so the enemy's going to blunt himself on my walls, very dwarf.
Yeah.
Then I'll counter with a unit of troll slayers coming in. Also, the ranges are spread about there to, they are potential. Like chases. It won't be a case all the time, you know, because Barry will reason why his build, why he doesn't. But like, they are, again, it's toolboxing, you know. So do you want the troll slayers to be, to sell their lives dearly, or do you actually want to hold them back and, you know, blunt the enemy to hit himself on your armour? It's, you have to look at the game situation.
Okay, because when I played against somebody in the trial,
you can't brigade the troll slayers together, so that's not an option.
So troll slayers are on the front.
Yeah.
And then you just position your cavalry off to a side, so only one of the stand can reach.
And then they're gone.
They've got to come. Yeah. And then, do you want to bring the stuff behind? No, not really. You don't want to support and charge this.
Exactly. So this, the reason, like, people might look at this and think, wow, troll slayers for 80 points are dirt cheap for 5 attacks each. But the reason is that they can be easily dealt with.
And
the,
you've got a big army to give away. You've got
exactly.
Like 14 or something.
So in my army, so this one I've built is a breakpoint of 9, and the scouting value would be the gyrocopter and 3 rangers. That would give you a value of 9 as well. So
if you did that...
You're telling where you're going. Yeah,
because you're deploying your army.
But your army's not big.
It's, what's the point running the scout if you've got to show them where everything is?
But you... I suppose. Yeah, like
unless you deploy all three rangers together, yeah, and only give away one brigade.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
So, but yeah, I would still compete for the... Sometimes, like if you're playing meeting engagement, you're going. That's when you might change it up.
That's what.
Yeah,
worth
like so.
That's the mad one, the mad deployment.
Yes.
I deploy my whole army. I don't care as long as I know where you are. You
so it works really nicely. That is how the army plays. It's well commanded, and you just, as I say, you just need to toolbox it out. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because in some games, you know, some things will be more value than others. Different games.
Right, good. Right. So obviously, I go a different approach to Paul. So I've got a very skewed build.
You walk
build.
A different path, sir.
I do. We walk. Doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. But if you don't aim big, you don't miss big. So I take 12 units of warriors.
Yeah.
Just the 12, because I reckon they don't really have a hammer for their anvil.
Mm, yeah.
They just have. A whole lot of anvils. So I'm going to take three anvils.
Yep.
So my brigades are going to be four units of warriors in column, three of them.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Then we've got an artillery brigade, which is two cannons, two flame cannons. I'm putting flame cannons on the middle because then you can't avoid them.
Explain why.
Okay, and then two gyrocopters because I need something for the rest of the points and I don't want to take another character.
Yep.
So.
And what is your characters?
One general.
Yep.
Runesmith with a sword. That's
yep.
it.
That's
two.
It. So, very simple army.
That's it. Runesmith gets up front. General does everything else.
Yep.
He can do it. You laugh.
Yeah.
But if he's only knocking out one order, it's pretty easy.
In this game, once the artillery's set, it's just one or two orders, isn't it, from the general?
Yeah. So how this works in Revolution that it may not have worked previously is that what would have happened is knights would have charged the front of my warrior brigade. And just ground it out. It may have taken six turns, eight turns, or eight combat turns, but it would have done it.
Yeah.
So now they only get two attacks.
Yeah.
On average,
two rounds.
I'm letting lose stands, but yeah. I shouldn't lose units.
No.
And there's an off chance. So let's imagine I just grind me away. I've seen halberdiers take charges from knights.
Yeah.
So if halberdiers can do it, these guys, warriors can do it. Because they're just like mini chaos knights, chaos warriors. So we hold the charge, maybe after two rounds, you have to decide whether you're going to break off and let me charge you back, or whether you're going to stay engaged and wait for my general, Dane, to flank charge you or rear charge you with another brigade.
Yeah.
Or what may even happen is you hit me, and I've got four static combat res from my columns.
Yeah.
You might not do four damage.
Might not. Well, yeah, might not.
You might not do four more.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do some damage to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you never know, I might win.
Yep.
And then that's the dream. You don't follow on.
Yeah.
You just leave them where they are, and then you reform left and right, so you go into both flanks and then hit them both flanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't go forward of the line anymore, but you can go left and right.
You'd have to, your opponent there would have, I mean, because what are you going in to fight? He'll have to look at it carefully. Like, does he want to risk trying to break himself on an anvil? Like,
there's only anvils, mate.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, so, like, he'll have to look at. Does he ever try to frontal charge you, for example?
Yeah. You've got the gyrocopters just to run some confusion.
Yeah.
Who wrote characters?
What's the breakpoint in scouting value?
Breakpoint 9.
Yeah. What?
Scouting value would be like the gyrocopters
6. Yeah.
You're not giving anything away by showing those.
So, if your opponent catches the gyrocopters,
I wouldn't let him because I wouldn't engage.
I'm just saying, like, if he did, and he got a line onto your artillery brigade.
Well, I'm in trouble now because I've now given away 6.
Yeah, so then you've got a problem, haven't you? Because then he could throw his army into one of your brigades to try and deal with it.
Okay, that's true, but I ain't giving an easy line to my artillery.
So, those gyrocopters become very important, don't they? You can't risk losing them.
No, they've definitely got roles, but they're quite limited in their roles.
Yeah.
You can't even send them off to loose stands because they can't do three attacks. They can't do three damage regularly. Maybe you should put them both together to try and kill a loose stand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To try and mop up. But they have uses. We talked about their uses.
I mean, it's an interesting list. I mean, it's very simple. You know, and it would be interesting. I mean, that list would be really interesting game to see against Kislev. It's like, you know, like
Bretonians. Horse archer.
Yeah. Like a knight heavy Bretonian list.
It's all about the cannons, man.
Well, that's to say, like, it'd be interesting to see how it plays out. You know?
With all dwarf lists, it's all about keeping your cannons working and engaged. Mm-hmm. And I like of all the entries, I like the warriors the most by a long way. Yeah. I think they're fantastic. I think, if anything, they're the only thing that's under-costed. I'm not saying they are under-costed. But
no, I don't think they are. I think they, I like.
But they're definitely the best entry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, right. So that's how I'm going to build my list. Obviously, it's just three brigades of warriors and an artillery brigade.
Yep.
Easy, lemon squeezy. Mm-hmm. Right. So Paul's a bit tired, actually. We've done an hour.
Oh, no. It's just.
Well, you are tired, sir. I can see in your eyes. Well, so we don't need to talk about Blackgate. We don't have to talk about the rules committee because we can save them for next week.
Well, okay. So just keep things. Blackgate miniatures is happening.
Yeah, I'm doing updates every Monday, so you can just read online. Yeah, don't need me to tell you that.
And a Revolution update, basically, Norse are coming along, and we'll talk about them. They're waiting to get approved.
Yeah.
And Beastmen are close.
Very close.
Then. And as for Wood Elves, Alice is writing an interesting list. I'll be playtesting it in February, twice with Jim Beach.
Yeah.
And that will give us some, give us some context, like, over what we think about the list. I mean, having a quick look at this Wood Elf list, I was like, okay, all right, I'll put it on the table, we'll see what we think. Yeah.
Okay. As for the Dwarf list, I think it's probably got better in Revolution.
Yes.
Although it's maybe a lot more wary about taking anything other than the Warriors.
Well, to you.
To me.
To you.
To me. So I would definitely say they're a Tier 2 army, but only because of the cannon. If they just had cavalry, if they just had the infantry, nothing else... But they got a leadership 10 general, haven't they?
Yeah.
What more do you want? Yeah. Leadership 10 generals are very good. Yeah. Cannons are very good.
The main difference is, like, their leadership 10 generals, all their units are going to have to operate close to the enemy. You don't have a leadership 10 general and you can be ordering out of 20 of the enemy. Because if you're going to...
That's why high elves are so fucking bent.
Yeah, well, that's...
Because now you're getting in 10-9.
Yeah.
Knights go in 10-9. Now that's 60 centimetres, potentially, 10-9.
Yeah.
That's miles, mate. 60 centimetres, that's like ridiculous amounts of table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And these guys, 10-9, and these guys, 10-9.
Boom, boom, boom.
Anyway, so tier 2 is what I give dwarves. I think that's what we said last time. Anyway.
I mean, to be honest, like, our tier... We should have done a wider tier in terms of grading system, because everything's tier 2.
But it's got leadership 10.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
If they had access to cavalry with leadership 10, would they be good?
Woo doggy!
If they had an anvil, which they've got, a hammer.
Chaos Dwarves only have a command 9 general.
Too right.
Yeah, they went chaosy. They went bad.
They got cavalry and stuff.
Yeah, you only get command 10. Dark elves. Yeah, that doesn't work. My theory, like.
But they kill each other.
Yeah.
Kill themselves. Right, so what are we going to talk about? We've got about. If you need to get hold of us, you can get a Facebook page or thewarmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Mm-hmm.
That was episode 83, Dwarf Army Review. Next week, I don't know what it's going to be. We'll see how Paul's getting on. Right, so that was Warmaster Podcast 83. Paul, Barry, bye.
See you later.
Would you like to know more?